Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Hey kids, this is going to be a rare solo episode of Southpaws. I'm Saverin, and Fuzz and Shiva are both unavailable to join me this week. Because we don't have the bants to go back and forth, I did want to do a reading and thoughts on an article that was posted to Polygon here a couple days ago, entitled Friendship Was Magic, How Bronies Are Preparing for the End of My Little Pony, written by William Antonelli. Came out on August 28th, and there will be a link to the article in the show notes. We've discussed on the show in the past how the pony fandom is basically wrapping up, in a large sense. Fandoms exist well after the show's been canceled, but the pony fandom is getting to the point where it's no longer financially viable to have conventions as standalone events. And with BronyCon wrapping up in 2019, this is becoming extremely obvious to people in that fandom. So I'm just going to read some articles, read a couple paragraphs, give my thoughts on it, and then maybe a little bit more towards the end. So reading from the article, this July, an anxious haze hung in the air at BronyCon, the preeminent convention for fans of the television show My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. The concern wasn't over the oppressive Baltimore heat, but a much more existential source, the end of Friendship is Magic, and the realization that the Brony fandom was mortal. In December, a series of leaks posted to 4chan/MLP board reported that Hasbro, the company behind My Little Pony, planned to air the ninth and last season of Friendship is Magic in early 2019, making room for an upcoming My Little Pony, quote, G5, unquote, the series' fifth reboot since the ponies debuted in 1982. These same leaks included concept art of the current show's characters redesigned for a new series, as well as unfinished versions of six unaired episodes in Season 8. All six of those episodes went on to air in their entirety, suggesting that the leaks were legitimate. Hasbro's official comment to Polygon is, My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic will be continuing for a ninth season, premiering in 2019. There are lots of exciting things in store for the My Little Pony brand next year and beyond, but we aren't ready to talk about anything further at this time. So, taking a quick cut there, that was a really interesting time in the pony fandom. Like, I was still peripherally aware of it because it was actually kind of exciting. A new season, a new series of horse with redesigned main characters and possibly a new thrust of adventure, who knows? And the fact that everyone's like, no, this is fake. Well, no, as the article said, it aired in its entirety and the episodes that were leaked were accurate. Basically, someone had gotten credentials for a server and just leaked everything everywhere. It was a mess. Moving on. The news left fans debating over what's to come. Much of Friendship is Magic's success came at how different it was from other cartoons aimed at young girls. With complex characters and consistent multi-episode story arcs, the show provided early on that it was not just a toy commercial, but a legitimate peer of shows like Gravity Falls and Adventure Time. Could the next generation once again find its place in the more mature, progressive cartoon landscape we have now? Or would G5 step back from the serialized format, returning to what original series producer Lauren Faust once referred to as a, quote, puddle of smooshy, cutesy-wootsy, goody-two-shoeness? For those attending BronyCon, Hasbro replicating the unexpected success of the current series meant the survival of their home away from home. This, of course, you know, regarding the leaks and stuff, this article was researched and did interviews before it was announced that BronyCon was ending, and so that probably adds a little bit of extra urgency to the writing in this case. Over the 3 days of BronyCon, I spoke to dozens of attendees, panelists, and community figures to get their take on the past, present, and future. What happens when cancellation threatens a living, thriving fandom? Friendship is Magic has already faded for most of the internet. When the show first began in 2010, oh, that was a long time ago, you couldn't spend 5 minutes on the internet without seeing a Pinkie Pie avatar or a joke about, quote, joining the herd, unquote. Bronies were a target for internet anthropologists who wanted to make a sense of emerging subcultures. But despite its former status as a meme juggernaut, widespread interest in My Little Pony quickly waned. Bronies haven't been relevant for years outside of the occasional joke at their expense. This has little to do with any decrease in the show's quality, but rather the natural flow of time. No meme lasts forever. It is unfortunate. inserting my own opinion here, that more often than not, when you do see a pony avatar nowadays, it is attached to a reactionary idiot on the internet and will probably not be someone you want to deal with, which is a damn shame because it's a cute show, and having Pinkie Pie be a red flag for someone threatening women on the internet or whatever else they do is very unfortunate. I've seen some people get very upset over the thought that bronies have been relevant for years, but the article writer isn't incorrect. You know, you have to look at its massive explosion of being everywhere back in like 2012, you know, having Hot Topic and Funko doing the horses before they decided, oh shit, we're going to do Funko Pops forever and completely drop making the nicer, bigger Funko horses. Oh, this is not an indictment of the quality of the show. It's just that people flit around from thing to thing, and bronies really haven't been relevant for that long. Probably the most successful thing they have right now is the comic series, and that's still going. But the show itself is not getting great viewership anymore. Fandoms, going back to the article, fandoms, especially ones built around massive franchises that keep pumping out official content, don't die out easily either. Outside of the spotlight, the brony fans who remain dedicated to the series have kept working, posting over 97,000 stories to the My Little Pony fanfiction site FemFiction, and over a million images to Derpaboru, the fandom's own image board. And a lot of those are porn. Then there's BronyCon. The convention began as a series of local fan meetups in New York and quickly grew into a yearly event, attracting thousands of attendees and special guests. This year's convention, held at the end of July, brought fans to Baltimore for the first convention since the end of Friendship is Magic was leaked. The question on everyone's mind this year was a weighty one. With the spotlight on the fandom largely snuffed, and the show ending soon, where do we go from here? "It'll fade away," said Oswald, an attendee I interviewed outside the convention center on the first night of the convention. Oswald walked in with a group of three other young men in their late teens, all of whom wore a mix of My Little Pony and video game-inspired clothing. With the size of the brony community, G5 can't match that. They won't have the writers, the directors that made the show we watched good. His friend agreed. "It won't be as big as it ever was," added one who goes by the name Killer Queen. "The viewers, con attendees, it's all going down." There's evidence to his apocalyptic vision. BronyCon attendance has steadily slipped since its height in 2015, where it attracted over 10,000 guests. This year, attendance maxed out at 5,465. Putting together the time and money to travel to Baltimore each year may not be as appealing to fans as it once was, likely due to fading interest in both the show and the fandom. And I can guarantee you guys, this is a personal thing, their costs have certainly not decreased in the intervening time. Popular artist and voice actress Wubcake told me at BronyCon that she doesn't think the fandom will die, but at the same, has also put out an announcement to her fans that she now finds the show, quote, boring, and will now only be making Art of the Equestria Girls spinoff. Meanwhile, Sethisto, editor-in-chief of the fandom news site Equestria Daily, has admitted that activity in the fandom has slowed down exponentially over the years. In 2011, Equestria Daily received more than 500,000 views each day, and in 2014 became one of the websites to be archived by the Library of Congress. Now, a significant number of fans say they haven't visited the site in years. Of the fans that do visit the site, most do to watch and discuss new episodes. In other words, 2019 may herald the end for his website, his primary source of income, and his way of life for the last 7 years. "The numbers are dropping," said fanfic author Bookplayer, "but the fandom will survive." Bookplayer, who has published novelist under her real name Emily Spawn, is an established figure in the shipping community. One of the most followed authors on FemFiction, Bookplayer is also a moderator of the site's Applejack x Rainbow Dash shipping group. When asked where she saw the fandom heading, Bookplayer admitted that she doesn't see it ever regaining the popularity it once had. But she also told me about the fandom she wrote fanfiction for before Friendship is Magic came around. The children's book series The Babysitter's Club. That series was 20 years old, she said, but there were still 20 or 30 people, writing fic, shipping. They were not going anywhere. I still get notifications about people reading and liking my old fics. I don't think the My Little Pony fandom is going to vanish. It will survive, even if that means in 20 years there are only 20 people holding it together. With a laugh, she added, "There will always be someone who has just watched the show and says, man, I really need to write a fic about those two horses kissing. It's a human urge." There's a long history of fandoms refusing to die, keeping themselves alive through sheer willpower of fans. In the late 60s, Trekkies proved that even without new official material to enjoy, fans could help keep the spirit of Star Trek alive. The fan campaigns ushered in a new era of movies and television for the long-lasting property. In the internet age, a quick Google search will unearth art, writing, music, any type of fan content for any intellectual property under the sun. That is why, as the end of Friendship is Magic approaches, many bronies have already come to terms with the show's cancellation and are adamant that it won't affect them. This is especially true for content creators. Animator Quilo Manar, who flew to BronyCon all the way from Australia, said at his panel that his, quote, will to animate ponies is separate from My Little Pony. In other words, while the end of ponies may mean a drop in viewer numbers, it doesn't mean a drop in creative passion. At a panel on Saturday, members of fandom musicians echoed his thoughts. And when one member of the panel wondered aloud if there would still be an audience for pony music after the show ends, the crowd erupted. "We'll always be here," someone shouted. A girl sitting near the back added, "We'll be here until the end of time." It is kind of interesting to see this, because, I mean, people are like, no, they're clinging on as hard as they can, and that's great and all. But really, the time to move on to other fandoms, or at least diversify your stuff, was a few years ago. It's really interesting because when this article came out, someone tweeted at Dogpatch Press, and they were like, hey, you know, is it time for the furry community to absorb the bronies? And I'm like, a lot of the good people that we would want have already filtered over here into the furry scene. And a lot of what remains are either young kids, little kids with parents, or internet reactionaries. There's not a lot of just general ass fans of this show anymore. While I'm not in the fandom anymore, there isn't been a lot of pushback against the reactionary sections of that fandom that I'm aware of. Feel free to let me know I'm wrong. The hubbub about a single cartoon ending may seem overblown on the surface, considering there's a theoretical reboot right on the horizon, and at its core, Friendship is Magic is just another vehicle to sell toys. But what happens when a fandom detaches from its source of inspiration? The internet has seen the dangers that unchecked fandom can pose. From Kelly Marie Tran leaving Instagram to escape harassment, to Batman writer Tom King attending Comic-Con with a bodyguard in tow after receiving death threats, 2018 alone has given us examples after example of angry fans turning passion into zealotry. The brony community has never been immune to criticism, much of it unearned, but enough of it legitimate. Much of the criticism of bronies has stemmed from the sheer amount of pornography that fandom artists have produced. While Safe Search blocks out what it can, it's not uncommon for fetish-oriented art and videos to slip into Google image search results or on YouTube videos, both spaces frequented by minors. Yeah, Rule 34, it exists. The sexualization has extended to BronyCon as well. While the convention's vendor hall bans the display and sale of not-safe-for-work merchandise, it's an open secret that many vendors sell erotic art under the table in dakimakuras, also known as hug pillows, or long pills with figures printed on them in lewd poses, depicting Friendship as Magic's main characters are common enough that even the official show referenced them in an episode. This little bit of prudishness from a furry perspective is sort of like, eh, whatever, but, you know, when you're dealing with Hasbro and their general dislike of anything not family-friendly attached to their properties, they can get a little touchy about it. I mean, when I ran Nightmare Nights, it wasn't like we allowed anything adult either. We were very picky. Much like other fandoms we've heard about in the news this year, the Brony fandom has its share of reactionaries espousing racist, sexist, and homophobic views, ironic considering the show's subtitle. Some fans of the show, especially women and queer folk, have gone so far as to disavow the term, quote, brony, instead using the more gender-neutral pony fan. When asked the reasoning for this, a group of transgender pony fans I spoke to outside the convention, many of whom have only come into the fandom recently, cited the brony community's history of hypermasculinity. Staying online, it can easily seem like the negatives of the brony fandom outweigh the positives, yet at BronyCon I can see this fandom at its most progressive, and its most constructive. Despite the criticism, the most common thing you hear when speaking to bronies is how the show and fandom changed and often saved their lives. At the Cosplay for Confidence panel, a woman took the stage to talk about how the show's changelings, tiny creatures that can change their appearance at will, gave her the confidence to come out as transgender. Last year's LGBTQ Ponies panel earned higher attendance numbers than almost any other panel, and was filled with similar stories. I talked to dozens of creators, including writers, artists, musicians, and even voice actors. Among them all, one thing was constant. Joining in the fandom had taught them skills they use today. The artist Webcake proudly stated that the fandom inspired her to begin voice acting, which she now does professionally. Regadar, a college student from Hawaii, credits the joy he gets out of Friendship is Magic with helping him through a number of crises in his life, including homelessness, drug addiction, and mental illness. I count myself among the ranks of these creators. Writing pony fanfiction as a freshman in high school was my first exposure to creative writing. 8 years later, I've just graduated from university with my creative writing degree. I owe a lot to this strange fandom. Near the end of our talk, Book Player told me the main reason she loves the fandom isn't her passion for writing or her popularity, but rather the community, the dozens of fellow fans she's met and befriended entirely through a screen. "I know a specific few pony writers who should be the new face of science fiction and fantasy," she said. "If only they weren't so busy writing pony fiction." On Saturday night, hundreds of attendees gathered in the convention center's garden for the wedding of Amethyst and Zira, two women who met at BronyCon 5 years ago. After the ceremony, they thanked the brony community for bringing them together. When Friendship is Magic first premiered, no one predicted that it would attract such dedicated fans. It's likely that no one predicted how many lives it would change. When Friendship is Magic goes off the air, TV will lose more than just an extended children's toy commercial. The central text for an entire subculture will enter the history books. No matter where the Brony fandom goes from here, 2019 will mark the end of an era. Late on Sunday, the final day of the convention, BronyCon staff announced the next year's event would be the last one ever, a massive four-day event to celebrate the Brony culture. Whether anyone's watching or not, it could also be the last hurrah of a fandom that once rocked the internet. So, that's the end of the article, and it is kind of sad. I look back on my time in the pony community with a sense of regret. I spent a lot of time and energy engaged in fandom bullshit, trying to do a podcast for that community and the petty tyrannies of people trying to, quote, control the fandom. It was such a big, massive pain in the ass waste of time. And then, of course, I started my convention, which is something I do take a great deal of pride in having done. Because it ended up doing a lot of good, I mean, just in raw numbers, for the charity that we did, and brought a lot of people together. But it is one of those things I look back on with a deep sense of sadness, and when BronyCon announced that they were ending, it just kind of made me feel that little twinge of regret. The fandom, it was such a big deal when I started, and there's some long gone episodes of this podcast where I was like, oh man, this is gonna be the new furry fandom, just you fucking wait, right? And I was so gung-ho, and to the point that me and old Flane decided we were gonna start our own podcast to get this pony bullshit out of our system, and then that went on to last 208 episodes. So it's this weird chapter of my life, which I've largely set aside, that is wrapping up. Like, I haven't watched much of anything the last couple seasons of Pony, which is kind of a shame, but it's also one of those things that it has so much personal negativity attached to that I also kind of don't want to revisit it. Ultimately, I think the Brony fandom is going to be regarded as one of those quaint, weird things that existed for a while and then kind of faded away. I mean, it's not like the convention's ending is going to end the fandom. Equestria Daily is still around, fanfiction's still around, you can still post videos on YouTube, reading comics, doing comic dubs, overanalyzing the show, all that fun stuff. It's not going to end, and the Doctor Who fandom still existed for many, many years in the dark times, as Fuzz puts it, when the Eighth Doctor and Ninth Doctor gap was, and, you know, Star Trek, it was mentioned earlier in the article. So it's not like the convention scene ending is going to be the end of the ponies, but I think the fandom is going to have to come to grips with the fact that it's no longer financially viable to run conventions for the most part. The fandom attracted a lot of grifters, and so there was a lot of poorly designed, poorly run events to put a lot of people in a lot of debt. There's issues with conventions that just never paid out the money they raised for charity. There are issues with conventions that have just been throwing money into a pit for years and years, stubbornly trying to persist when the people that running it are putting themselves in deep debt. After a point, it's no longer financially viable to run events on the scale that the fandom has been on. What'll probably happen is that people will scale things back, there'll be meetups, there will be small conventions, but it's no longer going to be the time where you get a dozen voice actors and actresses and show staff and comic folk and whatever. You know, the ones that are going to survive are the cons like TrotCon, who run themselves like furry cons and have like one or two guests, and then it's just like, yo, yeah, come on, be a pony fan, come get your smut under the table, it's all good. And a little bit less like BronyCon. I think last year only one convention had any sort of growth, and it was a convention that had a sub 1,000 attendee that gained like 40 people. It'll be really interesting here in 2019 when HarmonyCon launches here in Dallas, because that one is really trying to chase the ghost of Nightmare Nights incredibly hard. It's at the Crown Plaza even. We'll have to see what happens, because I'll show up, I'll lurk around, but I'm not going to step in there. It'll probably pain me to do so, and people might recognize me, but it's just not something I have the mental fortitude to do anymore. So, it's sad to see a fandom's light fading. It's not going to go out completely, but it is a time where pony fans need to consider what they're going to do next. You know, if they're going to continue to be hardcore fans of this, or maybe branch out into furry, or maybe go to anime, or whatever else. It's really unlikely for people to still be single fandom targeted nowadays, but you never know. People who are there, I'm only here for small cartoon horses, none of this Adventure Time, none of this Steven Universe, none of this whatever else, you know? Star Wars, that's for cucks. We're only going for ponies. Ah! But that really wraps up my thoughts on the matter. It's sad to see the light of a fandom fading, but it's not like it's going to go out completely. It's just something that, for me, I look back on with a bit of sadness and hope that the people that have couched all their hopes and dreams on it are able to find themselves something new, because nothing lasts forever. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this. You guys can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Feel free to yell at me there. You can email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. Find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. And find me on Twitch at Saverin if I ever stream. And let me know what you think. And since it is a multi-convention weekend, well, last weekend was, and this weekend's MFM, write in and let us know how your conventions went. Thanks for listening. Good night, and big books.